Can you believe January 1st, 2023, when just yesterday we were handing out candy to trick-or-treaters? I don't know about you, but it is getting faster and faster passing a time. And I know people told me that would happen as I got older, and I can't wait to get older and see if that happens. But see, the problem we're going to have for like the next 2, 3 weeks, 4 months, is writing 2023 on everything we need to date. Because we've been spending a whole year, well, at least the last 8 months doing 2022, because in the first few months we did 2021. But anyway, that's just some of the stuff we have to deal with. But my important question this morning is, how are you doing with returning or exchanging those gifts that didn't fit or you didn't want? Okay. Are you at least using the time standing in line at the store waiting to polish up on your social skills, having conversations with people around you? Are you at least doing that? As pastor, I tried to think through what we experienced during the Christmas season. And one of the observations I had is I think our culture, our society, is becoming more aware of others around us. And one of the ways we're able to measure that was in giving. I think of all the Christmas seasons I've walked through, this has been the one where I've seen more evidence of more people giving to help other people. And you, Trinity Church, have been part of that. You've given food, you've given winter clothing, you've given money, you've given your time to invest in the community around you. I applaud you because you're part of what I think is a movement to be different, to make the world different around us. Now, as part of that adventure through the holiday, we here in Trinity have been thinking through the Christmas story. And we decorated our sanctuary. We discussed characters, and we chose four characters, well, actually four kinds of characters out of the Christmas story, the first Christmas that was ever celebrated. And I don't know if they celebrated, but it happened. We celebrate that it happened. But we looked at Mary. We looked at Joseph. We thought about the shepherds, and we played with the idea of the Magi. Now, as we looked at Mary and Joseph, we recognized that they help us live the kind of lives that they live, lives that are open to God's calling. And each one of them proved to us that it is possible to say yes to the hard things, the hard questions, the hard invites, because God is always, He is always there with more than enough for us to follow through when we say yes. Because I understand from Scripture that He never asks lest He's already provided what we need to follow through with our yes. The shepherds, they helped us recognize that there is no one below or beneath or outside of God's love. And we unpacked that. Dale did a wonderful job of unpacking their social stigma, their odor. They smelled like sheep. Now, if you like how sheep smell, there wouldn't be a problem. But he talked about that and how they were the low of the low, and yet these were the individuals that God came to with the first announcement of the coming of His Son in a public way. And then they ran and saw, and they were then sent by God to actually tell others about that. And we talked about them. And then we looked at the Magi, these undefined individuals who came from an unknown place, chasing after a star that we don't understand. And they modeled for us adoration and love, words that when they come together in the setting that you and I gather would be the equivalent of worship. And they did it for Jesus, who was born to be king. He was royalty. And so all of this helps us recognize that motivation for life can be modeled out of these individuals as we try to live those same kind of lives. Now, one of the things that Gary, Dale, and I wanted each of you to think about as you listen to us unpack these individuals is that you would take something from their lives, weave it into the fabric of your life, and be a better representative of Jesus Christ. And so, my question this morning, and I'm going to actually give you a moment to talk about this, is what did you learn? What is it that you think you might do with what you learned during the Christmas season as you begin this new year? And this is a pretty great day to do it because we don't often get to meet on January 1st to talk about the new year. But what I'd like you to do is just turn to somebody near you and tell them what you learned briefly and what you think you might do with that. Can you do that? Go ahead. I'm going to walk down here and talk to Marissa. Y'all had a very profound answer, didn't you? Now, here's the thing. Some of you didn't have an answer, and that's okay. And you didn't have an answer for different reasons. One, maybe you didn't catch something that you already weren't doing. Or perhaps you caught something, but as you thought about it, you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I'm up to that. I don't know if there's space in my life. I don't know if I've got the energy, the stamina to add something else to my life. It's just the lesson that came to me is just so heavy. I don't know if I can do that. And that's okay. Because remember what I said about God? He never asks unless he's already given. But sometimes you and I, because of how we're doing daily life, we're not quite up to it, even though he's provided everything we need. But there's still the invitation. And the invitation is attached to what we're going to talk to about today, is the idea of starting fresh. Sometimes we just need to draw a line in the sand. There's no sand up here. But sometimes we need to draw a line in the sand, and you have to get ready to step over the line. And I want you to each draw a line in the sand of your life and think about, as we work through the sermon this morning, as we visit with Jesus, think through what it would take to make you want to step over the line and become something other. You see, God is in the business. God is in the business of fresh starts. Just think about everything we know about God. First, there was God, just God. And he breathed into existence a fresh thing. We call it creation, the world, the universe, way beyond where we can actually still see. And sometimes you and I just need to look out for him and say, help. Help. And that's what we're going to try to figure out today. How do we ask? A few moments ago, Sarah read for us some words out of 2 Corinthians, and these words were words of encouragement to a burdened church. You see, Paul, leading up to that, had been writing about weaknesses. He had talked about weaknesses that are inherent in you and me. Yes, we all have the same weakness. And it's called being human. Can you say that with me? Being human. Yeah, that's a weakness. You see, what we have in our lives, especially as we try to walk close to the divine, is this grand desire, but not always the strength to achieve the grand desire. Or we have a noble goal, but sometimes we stumble on the way to fulfilling that goal. We're just human. But though we are just human, we are called by God to imitate, to flesh out in our lives the very character of holiness and of the divine. And so the question must be raised, what are we to do? I want to suggest, start fresh. Cross the line. We listen again to just a couple of the verses that Sarah read, and I want to hone in on these verses, and actually, well, what I'm going to do is actually narrow into one verse. I'm going to lift it out of the context, but I had Sarah read the large passage. We're going to look at the smaller passage so that when you see the one verse, you'll see I'm not yanking it out of context. I'm using it in the context, because that's important. Paul wrote, beginning of verse 15, "And Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Fresh start. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them." And we must get in this passage that God is doing all the work. He did the heavy lifting. He's doing the reconciling. We are merely recipients of that. We are carriers of that message. And we are models of who he is and what he's doing in the world around us. Now, as I said, my plan is to take out that one verse, and I want to unpack the principle that's in that verse, because it serves to address our concern as we anticipate living a Jesus kind of life. And today, January 1st, early on January 1st, we have a whole year in front of us. We can either do it as we did last year, or we perhaps might consider something new. Listen to these words from verse 17. "Therefore," that is based on Paul's message, "therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Therefore. Whenever there is a therefore in Scripture, it is a link between two important things. And in this case, the therefore builds on what Christ has already done for us. Therefore, that is, he has come among us. Christmas. He has died for us. Good Friday. He has risen from the dead for us. Easter. And he is seated in the heavenlies next to his Father always for you and for me as our advocate, as our defender, as our life guide. Therefore, since Jesus has accomplished these good works, coming, dying, rising, ascending, and living for us, because he has accomplished these good works, if anyone is in Christ, that is, if anyone has been united by faith with the good works of Jesus Christ on the cross and through the grave, that is, they have let go of their pride, confessed their sinfulness and their need, if anybody has done that and are trying to live the life he made possible, he or she is a new creation. And when I say new, I mean new. Not new like in a rebuilt car, not new as in like a refurbished computer, not even new like in a renovated house, because we're not talking about looking like something that is new. We are talking about we are brand new in Jesus Christ. And that brand new for you and me is actually new again, because at one point when we were birthed, we were very brand new. And now we're new again. Now, in case any of us missed what Paul said, he adds to that idea of newness, the old has gone, the new has come. What was is now gone. What is going to be is already here. Can you say amen? Now, we have been made new, not our body. I had an engagement with the bathroom mirror this morning, and it reminded me that I'm still the same age I am, even though I knew I was preaching this. But what we do know from Scriptures is that we have a brand new body waiting for us when we get to heaven. After we're done here on earth, we have a brand new body. But what has been made new is our hearts, our souls, We have been revived. We have been renewed on the inside. Excuse the phrase I'm going to use here. We have been reformatted by Christ. We have been reformatted by Christ to live His life right here, right now. To live His life through our lives. Now, you're thinking, and I know you're thinking this, that's not been my reality. And you might be right. It might not be your reality. It's not my reality, not every day, not every moment. But it is still the reality. But, here's the big but here. But, that we have not figured out or learned how to use all of this newly installed spiritual software doesn't mean it's not there. I have never owned a computer that I understood how to use. I have a cell phone I can just barely use. They are so much smarter than me. But the God of the universe dwells within me, which makes me capable of almost anything, but I haven't figured out how to use all the software. And I know you're just like me. You see, in Christ, there are new things that you and I need to figure out how to use so that we can live the lives we were designed to live. I think most days, you and I can start the morning looking in the mirror and honestly saying to yourself, you were designed for better and more. Can you say that with me? You were designed for better and more. And I know that because of what Paul said to the Corinthians. We are brand new. We are no longer spiritual zombies just trudging along, doing what we've done before because that's what we know how to do. In Christ, we have been freed to live radically other lives. Radically other lives. In Christ by faith, this new life that we have could take on a new form that would even shock us. And so what I'd like to do for a couple of more relaxed moments is I'm going to come down there and sit on the steps, and I have some props. And they're, maybe you'll think they're simplistic. Maybe you think this is a silly exercise, Les. But you're stuck with me this morning. And I'm sorry for those of you on the other side of Jesus' head. You just have to imagine I'm here. But what I want to do is I'm going to show you six things. Six things that I'm going to offer as reminders or an impetus to try something or to remember to do something. And so, now, this little cross came from England. Carol and I were in England. We were at an abbey, and I bought this in the prayer center. It's designed to fit in your hand as you're praying so that your prayers are always attached to the source of your power. Now, I'd like to suggest this morning that a cross, any cross, a cross like this, some people have those little crosses they stick in their pocket or attach to their keychain. We have a gorgeous cross on the wall in back of me. You can't drive very far in our area without seeing 1 or 10 crosses on the top or sides of buildings. But I'd like to suggest that going forward from this morning, that when you see a cross, and maybe you want to stick one in your pocket, be reminded of what it means to you. Because it's a reminder of Jesus. It's a reminder that God the Father sent His Son, who willingly came and laid down His life so that we might be cleansed from that which burdens us, our sins, that we might be released to live the life that His blood coursing through our soul makes possible. And I'm pretty certain that if we lose sight of this and what it stands for, we're done. We might be done on Wednesday, and we might not come back to it until Sunday morning when we come in and we see the cross and hear the prayers and sing the songs. But I'd like to suggest that one of the things we can do to live this brand new life and to begin to take advantage of the spiritual software that God has given to us is to start with a cross. Any cross. Throw one on the back of your hand. I don't care. put it someplace where you can see it often and be reminded. Jesus came so that we do not have to live the lives we've always lived. He came so that we could live lives that are so much grander than the one you think we can live. Cross. I think a book is next. And it could be any book. I have just a couple of books here. I just ripped them off my shelf. I'd like to suggest that books could remind us of the book. You know the book I mean, don't you? The book? Yeah, that's it. Okay, we're on the same page. You know, we learn about Jesus and the cross and what it means for us. We've learned it from here. But everything else we get to do in life, everything that we want to do in life or should do in life, somehow is attached to the Bible. Now, the problem is that a whole bunch of people no longer touch Bible. We have them on our phones. We have them on our computers. And if they're on our phones and computers, sometimes they get lost among the other software we have, like Words with Friends and Wordle and Scrabble and Mahjong and other things like that. But I would like to suggest that any book you see, allow it to remind you of the book. And then when you think of the book, think about, did I read some of this today? Have I allowed some of the words of God to pass through my mind and my heart to challenge the life that I'm currently living? Some of us need to do something different. And I said these are reminders to do something. The cross reminds us to think about Jesus. The Bible, seeing it, seeing another book that reminds us of the Bible, reminds us that we actually need to feed on the truth that's in these words, and we actually need to read. Now, I'm big on paper and books. If you want to read on your Bible or on your phone, it's fine. But we need to be in the Scriptures. And today is January 1st. It's the beginning of the new year, and I don't know what your reading habits were for the last 365 days. I would love to believe in the pastor you read something every day. But I'd love to believe that you're going to do more this year. And you can start today. You can start a reading program. You can get them online. I was just invited to join a small group of people. We're going to read through the Bible together, reading the same stuff every day, and encouraging one another. There's a one-year Bible out on the table in the lobby. You could grab that. But we need to be in the Word. Knowing that we've been renovated by God is not the end of it. Knowing that we've been renovated by God and accessing the manual on the spiritual software is a huge step in the direction of becoming the person that we are intended to be. Now, I invited Jesus to join me today because the next thing that we need to do is think about our knees. Everybody touch your knees. Knobby? Are they knobby? Are they worn from all those hours of kneeling and praying? You see, when you think of knees, see knees, what I'm suggesting is you think about that jump from knees, kneeling, praying. Now, it's one thing to know that Jesus died for us so that we might have an amazing new life. It's another thing to have access to the book that is the manual on how to live the lives that we're supposed to be living. But the next thing is regular conversation with the one who designed us, the one who actually dwells within us. God aches to hear your voice. Can you believe that? There's some days I don't even want to hear my own voice. But God aches to hear my voice. He aches to hear your voice. And prayer is the way we do that. Now, you can pray out loud. We do it quite a bit in here. You can pray silently. You can pray at certain times of the day. You can pray in an ongoing conversation through the day. Get the person in the car at the intersection next to you wondering what you're talking about. But if you're going to pray while you're driving, which I often do, don't close your eyes. It is not a good thing. But God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear where we're stuck, because when we talk with Him about where we're stuck, He takes us back to the owner's manual so that we know how to get unstuck. When we're encountering something we think might be a call from Him, He takes us back to the owner's manual so that we can figure out how we can do what He's asked us to do. And He'll remind us, I've never asked you to do something. I haven't given you what you need to do it. And so as we think about the cross, the Bible, and our prayer lives, what we've got there is a connection, a lifeline with the source of everything we could ever, ever do. And the reason I have Jesus up here this morning is he's lucky. You and I have two knees. He has four. Four reminders. We have two. And you need to think about it. Most of us don't think about our knees most of the time unless they creak or click. This one's clicking. I'm going to have to talk to a doctor about it. But play with it a little bit. Not your knee. The idea of knees. We see them around us, and if you see them, you might think, okay, pray for the person those knees are attached to. But when you're bathing in the morning or anything, whatever you do that, you're washing your knees, say a quick prayer. Thank God you're able to stand, and wherever that takes you. But let your knees be a reminder of prayer. Now, another thing we have here, this one's a little more embarrassing. Lips. Who here has two lips? Oh, I see a couple of people have lost their lips. Lips. Maybe the side's better. Anyway, lips could be a reminder for us that we talk. And you know that Paul wrote about this new life that we have, and I was interested. I didn't cue her up, but when Sarah introduced the passage, she talked about God through Paul establishing us as ambassadors for him. Ambassadors represent an entity. We as ambassadors represent God. And he has a message. And the message is the one that attached to us and caused us to become new creatures. And that's the message that we get to share through our lips to others around us. Now, you don't always see your lips. You have to work hard to see them. But we see other people's lips. And so when we see other people's lips, be reminded that we have two lips and they're supposed to be used to share with others what we already know and sometimes take for granted. Lips. But in case you're not a lip person, maybe you're more an ear person. Maybe you need to see other people's ears and be reminded that they need to hear what we're supposed to be sharing. Now, if you're a little concerned, you're like, well, I never know what to say. Well, that should take you back to the owner's manual, which will tell you what to say. And if you just think about the cross, you don't really have to come up with a thing. If you know that you know Jesus, if you know that you are a new creation, if you know that your sins have been removed, if you know that confession allows for forgiveness of sins that we commit again and again and again, you already know what to share with the persons whose ears are in front of your lips. Just tell them your story. It is not complicated. It is not rocket science, because what we're doing is what God calls us to be, is a witness. And a witness tells what they've experienced. Now, we may have at some point in our life been a witness to an accident. I've seen accidents, and I've actually watched interview process. The police will interview everybody that was there, and they'll ask five people and get seven different theories of what happened. But what they were explaining is what they saw, what they experienced. And so when we are out there entertaining ears with our lips about the message that takes us all the way back to the cross, all we have to do is share how Jesus entered our life and what he's doing with our lives. Simple? I think so. I brought my wallet. It's empty as usual. And a handbag. And this is not the one that goes with this outfit, but it's the one I had. But, you know, when I see things like this, and how many people here have a wallet? Keep your hands up. How many people here have a handbag? How many people have both? I just have to exercise it a little bit. But see, things like this could be a reminder of how God has blessed us. Blessed us even beyond the cross and our new life. Because he fills our lives with everything. Because we have nothing that didn't come from him. And so every time I take out my wallet, I'm reminded that anything that's in here is somehow attached to Him. It's whether I think about the paycheck that I get, and that's attached to the ability that He gave me to learn a certain skill set and a certain calling on my life. For a while, while I was going through seminary, I was a meat cutter, and I was pretty good. I rose up through the ranks a lot faster than normal. I was managing a store. One day, I'm cutting on the butcher block, and this old gentleman, I'm cutting away my nice flesh. And next thing I know, my hands are pinned to the block. And I'm like, I don't know how that guy got in there without getting his fingers cut off, but he did it. And he said, "How are you able to do that?" And I said, "Because I'm good." He says, "No, because God made you to be able to do this." Every paycheck since then, every this, reminds me that what I have is His. And it's an easy walk from everything is His to my ability to graciously, cheerfully give back to Him the portion when the plate is passed. And so as we think about what Jesus started at the cross, as we think about what He teaches us in His manual, as we think about what we're sharing with people who are listening, as we think about what we have, what's left for us is, what do we do with our time? My friends, this is a calendar. For those of you who haven't seen one in years, because you only use the one on your phone, this could be a reminder of a lot of things. The dentist appointment on Tuesday morning, a kid's sporting event on Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, Sunday afternoon. But it could also remind us of Sunday. I am amazed at how many people are amazed that it's Sunday. And I'm not talking about just anybody. I'm amazed at how many church people are amazed that it's Sunday again. I'd like to suggest, along with thinking about a cross as a reminder of everything that God's done for us to bring us into a relationship with Him, I'd like to remind us that in addition to the Bible, which is our manual for how to live life, it's our spiritual connection with God through truth, and our knees, which remind us to pray, and ears and lips that talk about our role as ambassadors, and our wallets and handbags, which remind us that everything came from God. Perhaps our calendars, wherever it is, and my phone actually has the function of an alarm. Any doubt the phone does that? If you're the person who suddenly is like, "Oh my goodness, it's Sunday again. I'm sorry, I can't pull that off again today." Set the alarm for Saturday. But this is so vital for us, because what happens in this room prepares us for what's going to happen when we leave the room. Remember I said that God never asked us unless He's already provided everything? Part of the everything is you. Look around yourself. That said, this is part of what you need to be what Jesus wants you to be. You can't do Jesus in your daily life alone. And so as we think about why we gather to worship, to lift our voices, to show you can still stand after sitting on a wooden step. We gather to worship with our giving. We gather to worship with our attention to God's Word. We gather so that we can commit, as we leave the door, to live the life He's called us to live. I know they're probably silly-ish illustrations, silly reminders, but we need to adapt something into our lives so that we're more consistent with who we are. And it's easy to get to Tuesday with all of our commitments, our work, our home, our children, our neighbors, and forget that first and foremost, we are His children. I offer these reminders, and maybe all they do is cause you to think about better reminders that work for you. But I hope you're beginning to get my point, that actually living the life Jesus has made possible is not outside of our ability as long as we stay connected to Jesus. And we do that by being reminded, by studying, reading, by sharing, by giving, by living. As I said, Jesus has already done the heavy lifting. He has already made us brand new. All we need to do is figure out how to use all the spiritual software, as I call it, in our daily lives. Maybe the reminders will work for you. Maybe you need other ones. But the point is, we are brand new in Jesus Christ. And He is the author of fresh starts. Are you ready for a fresh start? Would you stand and pray with me?